We are in Colossians 3, if you'll turn to Colossians 3 with me. I've used this as an illustration before because I think it's a good illustration. I owned a Fiero. A Fiero? Yes, there's a lot of laughter. Fieros were known to lighting on fire, combusting without the input. It was a mid-engine car that the American companies made, GM, is Pontiac Fiero. It was neat. It was fun. It felt like driving a go-kart. It was made out of plastic, and the center balance was here, and so it's like the curving, you turn on a dime. It's just really interesting. Scary to drive in the snow. The scariest vehicle I've ever tried to drive in the snow. You couldn't really do that. That's why eventually it was rear-wheel drive with the weight in the center. You should not drive that in the snow. Anyway, I rebuilt the engine, that's great. You get the engine rebuilt. If you've ever rebuilt an engine before, I did not do it by myself. I did it with my dad. We sat there in the garage going through it. It was a lot of fun. We fixed the place that leaks onto the exhaust pipe, which ignites the fire, which, well, anyway. You when you sat and your arm was set here, your arm sat on the gas tank that ran down the center. Interesting, scary thing. When I went to pick parts in the pick-apart place, about a third of the cars were burnt out. This tells you something about the car you have. But I fixed the engine. I fixed some of the things on it. It's still, a new engine's like a new car, you know? You think, wow, this is cool. It runs so well and so fun. But there's still the old parts. Even though you fixed the engine, you didn't get rid of all the old parts. And I remember driving down the freeway one day on my way to Webster, and the car just kept on accelerating when my foot was off the gas. And I was like, what's going on, you know? And trying to lift the gas pedal, making sure it wasn't stuck, wondering what was happening. I put the clutch in, got in neutral, went off and onto the side of the road. And I went to the back end, I shut the car off, went to the back end and opened up and was looking at the engine, looking at everything. And somehow the gear levers, the lines that ran in the back, which is really weird, they got tangled in the cords for the accelerator and were just holding it wide open. It was scary. Why'd that happen? Well, that part was old. Those things were messed up. Everything was stretched out and in the wrong place. It just, old things are still there even though it's supposed to be new. But it's not new. You still have the old, and you're dealing with the old. And if anybody's ever rebuilt an engine on a car, you understand that problem. You're still dealing with the old. We as Christians have a similar battle. We're new. We're alive in Christ. We're different. But we're still dealing with the old nature. We still sometimes, something goes wrong. We go, what is that? Why is this car still accelerating? What's going on? And it's the old nature that's still there within us. Sometimes I wish I was done with it. Don't you? But it won't be done till we get to heaven. We're kind of like Paul. In Romans 7, if you read the last part of Romans 7, and it's a great picture of a Christian struggling with sin. And he says in Romans 7:15, Paul's talking here, he says, For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And as a Christian, we continue to to do the very thing we hate sometimes. But we're trying to do what God wants us to do. How do we deal with it? What do we do? Well, we're growing spiritually. And Paul right here in Colossians 3 is talking about this. And if you have your finger, Colossians 3, let's read together again part of what we did last week and what we're going to go through this week. It says in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the salvation you have given to us, and that when you see us, you see Christ's righteousness. Help us to live for you and not do the things that we hate now, the sin. Thank you for giving us these words from Paul to help us to grow in our spiritual walk. Give us the correct perspective on life. In your name, amen. We are no longer dead in our sins. As I turned this up too high.
There we go.
We're no longer dead in our sins and our trespasses. We're not living the old life with the old desires and old perspective. Before you were a Christian, you had a different perspective on life. We no longer have that perspective. We're also, there's a change that's taken place. Sin doesn't control us. We are alive in Christ. We are right with God. We are right with Christ. As I said before, when God sees us, what does he see? He sees Christ's righteousness. He sees Christ. Now, does that mean I'm sinless? No, I still sin. I still have an old nature. But Christ has taken care of that. Positionally, I'm justified and declared righteous. Our focus also has changed, our perspective. Our life has changed. We have, set our minds on Christ, not on the things on this earth. Our perspective is heavenly. To live is Christ. That's what we live for. To live is Christ. Everything we do, everything we think, every action we take, every decision we make, our focus is set on Christ. And if our focus is that, everything changes. Everything. Because that's our focus. We are living out, we're attempting to live out, what Christ has already done. What we will be when he appears. Does that make sense? And already not yet. We're righteous in God's eyes, but we're not righteous when we're here in the sense that we still do bad things. But we're trying to live like Christ. We're trying to live that righteous life. We're trying to follow after Christ in everything we do. And our hearts change. Our desires are changed. Our perspective on sin has changed. We hate it. We don't want sin to control us. It's not how we want to live. We're not self-centered. Your desire shouldn't be me, me, me. It should be Christ. What does Christ want? What does God want? We strive to be more like him. Now, we went through this last week, verses 1 through 4, the setting your mind, this perspective, this is where our hearts change, and this is our perspective. Our perspective is Christ, trying to be more like Him. And a different response to the old nature where we hate sin. Okay, so we have verses 1 through 4. That was last week, 1 through 4. So, because of 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4, Colossians 3, because this is true, because this is where we set our mind, because what Christ has done in us, because of who you are now, alive in Christ, and where you're going, in heaven eternally with Him, sinless, no longer dealing with this, because of all this, what do we do? What's the word? Therefore? Therefore. So, because this is true, do this. Go to verse 5. That's where we're at. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put to death. That's the word. And some of you may have other things there, the other translations, but the idea is put to death. That's what it means. Put it to death. Now that's a very permanent solution. Right? You put something to death. This morning there was a mosquito that got in the house and it was flying around my head. As I go through the sermon on Sunday mornings, and it was flying around my head, and I'm trying to wave it off. Anybody ever done that with a mosquito? What good does it do? It doesn't do any good, because what do I want to do? Mosquito's gone, right? If you get it and you smash it, that mosquito's not going to bite you. Because it's dead. Put to death. Permanent solution, right? Mosquito's not going to bite you anymore if it's dead. Paul's saying, put this to death. What do we put to death? What is earthly in you? Now, the KJV, it's a good translation here. It says, mortify, therefore, your members. Put to death, therefore, your members. The word is members. But the idea, the ESV and quite a few other translations, the idea of what he's saying is basically what's on earth, what is earthly in you. It's a good way to put it. And the mortal things, the members of this earth, this stuff, doesn't mean take your hand and smash it. Don't do that. That's not the point. The point is a picture of what's earthly, what's fleshly, what's evil, the old stuff, the old nature. Not your physical body. The earthly part of you that is the old nature. Why? You're a new creation. You're alive in Christ. You're killing the old. You're smashing that mosquito. What's the old? It's what the heart is. What's what it keeps on doing. What it, the old nature that's inside of you that keeps on popping up again and you're saying, no, 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 no. It's what used to control you. Doesn't control you anymore. As a Christian, you're not dominated by the old nature. And you got to remember that. Before you're saved, you're done. you could not succeed. You could not win. But now you have Christ and you're alive in Christ, and the old nature comes, but you can say, no, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm not going to. I'm stepping away. I'm not doing that. Paul is going to provide here specifics, part of that old life, from this new perspective and what you should do with it. And he starts here by saying sexual impurity or sexual immorality or fornication. Good word to use, fornication. And the it's porneia, the Greek. It's where we get porn from, that word. The wording there. It's immorality. It isn't limited to certain sexual sins. It's broader than that. It's all of them. It's very broad. That sort of sin has become pervasive in American culture. Right? It's everywhere. Anything outside of the marriage relationship, dealing with that is sinful. God has blessed the marriage relationship with something amazing. But anything about outside of that relationship is sinful. It's perverted. American culture at this time, this point in time, glorifies this. Glorifies sin. Any show you watch on TV has distorted what God meant only for marriage. We've gotten to the point, it's been distorted so much. And if you watch like old movies, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you keep on going through, you can see the progression. Where, watch the shows now. And you go, how did we get to this point? Where it's distorted to the point where it's beyond, it's, turn to Romans 1. Yeah, keep you can put a mark in Romans 1 because it's interesting. A lot of the things dealt with here in Colossians are also dealt with Romans 1. But basically, the world has said anything is permissible. Anything is thought of as good. Evil is thought of as good. Romans 1:26 says, "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." Romans 1:26 and 27. Very clearly a condemnation for that. Completely. But what was thought previously as shameful, something that should be hidden, something that shouldn't discuss, has been glorified. And we think, well, that's horrible. Right? That's not good. But, you watch a show, and before they're married, any romantic show at all, romantic comedy or anything, what relationship do the guy and gal have? Guess what? That's sin too. Right? Yet we become desensitized to anything outside of marriage where, well, and we make allowances. All of this has caused our minds to think incorrectly. What was previously thought as shameful has become glorified. This isn't new. People sometimes say, well, American culture, oh, you know, you've never seen that before. Rome, Roman culture, it was worse. Some of the things going on there just would blow your mind. But a lot of this sort of thing was part of their religion. Could you imagine, I'm going to go to the temple today meant something very different then. A very evil, evil things happened. And that was just part of their culture. That's what they did. So when Paul's writing to them, when in 1 Corinthians 6, where he's saying, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. When he says that, he's trying to say, listen, that's not you anymore. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Never. Says, don't do this, never. He says, flee from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." This is Joseph running away from Potiphar's wife. Running. Put to death fornication. And that's not talking about an outward thing, it's an inward thing. Where is your head? Where is your heart? Do not have anything to do with it. Kill the mosquito. So when temptation hits, kill it. The next generation that comes up is going to live in an interesting world. We live in an interesting world. Being different, living for Christ, but it's going to be an amazing thing because hopefully the church will be an amazing witness. Right? Because hopefully we'll be so different, everybody will go, "What? What are you doing?" Because we're following Christ. Setting our minds on Christ. Put to death sexual immorality, fornication. The next word is interesting. It's impurity. It includes sexual immorality, but it seems to be broader than that. It's uncleanness in your action. One time it's used in Greek, it's used by someone describing basically being a false witness. You're unclean in what you're saying. So it goes beyond just sexual immorality. It's impurity in everything you're doing. Jesus uses this of the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all." Unclean. All uncleanness. Same word. "So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." They look pure on the outside. It's an impurity in action. There are times where the Pharisees, when you look at them, you're like, "Well, they tithe their spices. Isn't that great? Aren't they righteous?" But inside they were dirty. They were when Jesus starts talking to them, he says, "It says honor your father and mother. What do? You get away with whatever you want. You ignore what Christ said, and you say, 'Well, I don't have to do this because this is a gift from God.'" They do horrible things like that because they are impure. It's all an outward thing. I'm hoping your Christian life is not an outward thing. Kill the impurity. Making excuses to do what you want. Hey, we're not going to get through this listed. Well, we'll try. Passion. Evil passions. It's many times, the same word is again found in Romans 1, verse 26. "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature." There's a dangerous thing in our society right now that if you are passionate about something, if you really believe it, if you sincerely go after it, that's okay. What are you passionate about? Something isn't good just because you're passionate about it. They have passion for it. They want this. If you have passion, that doesn't make it right. You have passion for what's good, not for what's evil. It's the old science fiction movies where you got the bad scientist. You know, he does that. He's passionate too, I don't know. They have the lightning strike and do the horrible thing. And you're like, "Wow, That guy's passionate about destroying the world. That's not a good thing, is it? No. When you look at college kids, probably just... in dealing with college kids in this area, which I haven't as much as I'd like to, but you're talking to them and they're passionate about drinking. You talk to a kid in college inside the Monroe County area in the colleges, they're passionate about partying and drinking, and a lot of it is drinking. Everything in their life centers around getting drunk. And they're very, very... And you're sitting there talking to them and you're going, what in the world? What's going on? But that is their passion. If you hear about college kids going on spring break, what do they want to do? They have a passion for evil. Passionate about sinfulness. That should not be our passion. This is similar to the next phrase, evil desire. Evil lusts. Again, Romans 1:24, therefore God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Evil desire is part of our old self. Such desire should be killed, not dwelled on. Don't dwell on evil desires. If I go on a diet, which is a good thing, and I sit and think about the Pittsford Dairy ice cream, which I like better than what Lugia's, but there's debate, you know? Anyway, but if you go to Pittsford Dairy, they have this ice cream that's wonderful, and you start thinking about it, and you go, oh, I can't have that, but I really want that ice cream. It's so soft, and it's such a hot day. If I keep on dwelling on it, what's going to happen? I'm going to go get some ice cream. Evil lusts. Evil desires. When you're talking to people struggling with sin, some of them dwell on the evil desire. Stop it. Kill it. Not where your mind should be. It's not where your heart should be. Set your mind on Christ. Put it to death. It's not something you pursue. The last word in this list here is covetousness, which is idolatry. It's kind of the culmination of the whole thing. Greedy desire, what you don't have. Desiring to accumulate things for yourself. Christ speaks of this in Luke 12. And it's same word, same idea. It's the parable he tells. We're going to look at this together and we'll just read through it. Go to Luke 12 and we'll do it fairly quickly. Luke 12, verse 15. And I think it's a good picture here. Luke 12, verse 15 says, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Following section, and he says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. And it continues there. So many of us are like this. So much of our life is spent in pursuit of things we do not have because God has not given them to us. We covet what's not ours, because it's not supposed to be ours. Sometimes this is wealth, things on this earth. Sometimes it's a sexual sin. Other times it's fame, glory. There's a lot of different things. But it's covetousness. It's desiring what's not ours. What does Paul call this? Idolatry. Now imagine that conversation with someone. And they're sitting there talking about this love of wealth or this love of pursuit of something that God has not given them. And you say, you know, you need to be real careful. It sounds like you're falling into idolatry. You'd get pushback. I worship God. What are you talking about? No. Right? That's a scary thought. You put these things above God. You treasure them. You worship them. You worship the creation rather than the Creator. Again, going back to Romans 1. The old self, what the world does. That's not us anymore. It's interesting, we've talked about sexual immorality, and Christians, you know, they no, we don't want that. Well, think about covetousness inside American society and Christians' response. Covetousness has become honorable. Righteousness is not being pursued. Honoring God is not being pursued. Wealth has become the highest good. Who do we honor? Who is a hero in American society at the moment? Really rich people. Now they may not everybody, but a lot of times when you listen to TV or you talk about people who have been successful, who people need to strive after, they talk about people who are very, very wealthy and powerful. And you think, why? Because that's what people want. We have distorted, what's the Puritan work ethic? Does anybody know? What was the Puritan work ethic? There's a thing where American society was based upon the Puritan work ethic. So everybody should work really hard to get money and things. Is that the Puritan work ethic? No. What was the Puritan work ethic? What was the idea behind it when the New England area was founded? Their idea. The idea was your work is a calling from God. Everybody, no matter what you do, is called by God to whatever position you're in. That's where God has placed you. And you work in pursuit of glorifying Him and bringing honor to Him. It's not trying to make the most amount of money, most amount of things. The idea is doing your work for the glory and honor of God. But this idea of coveting wealth has permeated everything. Even Christians, the health and wealth gospel. What do you long for? What do you covet? Is it Christ? Do you long for Christ or do you long for things? Where does your mind go when you get in bed at night and are trying to fall asleep? What are you seeking after? What mosquito is going around your head? If it's covetousness, kill it. Realize it's worshiping something other than God. And that's a scary, scary thought, right? This parallels Romans 1. Colossians 6, 3 verse 6 kind of sums this all up, where he says, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. There is a cost to sin. The judgment of God is coming on the world because of sin. This is not where you are anymore as a Christian. You are not part of this anymore. Paul is trying to get them to see the difference of where they were and where they now are and where their focus is and what they get rid of. Saying, this isn't part of me. Ephesians 5 is parallels this. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 12, he says, for it is even, if it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. This is not us anymore. Walk as children of light. Verse 7 of Colossians 3 says, in these you too once walked when you were living in them. This is the past. My first job, I've mentioned it, Kmart. Kmart cashier. Can you get better than that, right? That'll teach you a work ethic. Sitting there in Kmart, cashing people out. I know why they went out of business. it was an interesting job. Could you imagine, after I left that job, coming back years later, going and say, I'm sorry, let me cash, and just walking in and working the cash register. Would I ever do that? No, I despise the job. It was horrible. We were doing things with that we should have never done. But I did not like the job at all. I would never walk back around and sit there and cash people out at Kmart. Ever. Why do we go back to sin? The old nature. That's not who we are anymore. It's as silly as me going in and being the cashier at Kmart. I don't work there anymore. You're a Christian. You don't work in the world anymore. Get rid of it. Put to death what was before. He goes on with this and talks about relationships. In verse 8, he expands on this and basically says, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Put this away, get rid of it, cast it off like old clothes. One of the jobs I would go back to, because I didn't like it, but it was fun to. I went to a Christian college and I worked in the cafeteria for extra money at one point. And you're sitting there in the cafeteria, hundreds of plates and foods going through, and you're cleaning things off and you're talking to people, you know, and it's kind of fun, but it's disgusting. And you're sitting there, you're working, and you get done, you go back to the dorm, your roommate doesn't want to, well, look at you or smell you. And you get off those clothes and they're as disgusting as you can possibly imagine. But and you put them away in a hidden place without any, you know, air traffic. But could you imagine putting those clothes back on? Wake up in the morning before you go to class and grabbing those? You wouldn't do it. The illustration, put off, cast off, that's what Paul's saying here. Cast that stuff off. Get it off of you. You don't want it on you anymore. It's gone. Paul uses this idea throughout a lot of times. In Romans, he uses the same thing. He says, let us walk properly in the daytime, not in these old things. Don't make any provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Kill it. We're done. We're done with the darkness. Get rid of it. Get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Anger and wrath, they're connected. The anger seems to be like defined more as slow burning anger inside you, a bitterness. The person who's angry at life. You met that person? Angry all the time. It's inside them. They're angry. The wrath is the hot anger. They actually, someone who loses their temper. Both of those things should be done in the Christian's life. They're part of the old way of life. Why do you not have to have that anger anymore? We have Christ. Where are you going? You're going to heaven. You have purpose. Your sin's taken care of. You're right with God. There's meaning. You have truth. We have a right perspective on life, and we have Christ's righteousness. We are on our way to heaven. This eliminates the problem of anger. Right? Do you have an excuse to be angry? Babies are cute. Right? But babies are sometimes very loud and very noisy. And they scream. And they're so angry. See, have you seen the little baby get really angry? You know, they get all red and they squeeze their fists and everything's red. And you're like, why are you so angry? I've given you everything. And you keep on trying, giving them one thing and the other. And then, like, it's, I don't know, the toy three rooms away that they happen to want. I don't, but you don't know what it is. And you're saying, please explain it to me. If you just understood, you'd stop being angry, right? We as Christians are acting like those babies. We don't need to. We understand. We have Christ. We do not need to have that anger and wrath. It's done with. We're saved. Slander, obscene talk, lying. Christ says about these things, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Get it out of your heart. Kill it. Cleanse your heart. Fill your heart with Christ. Put off the old. Put on the new. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Get rid of it. So when the old self rises up, and I start thinking thoughts and wanting to do things, wanting to do actions, what do I do with those thoughts? Kill them. Everybody got that? Said it probably 50 times. Kill it, right? Kill it. I put them away. I get rid of all that. Because I put away the old self with all its practices. I've killed the old way of life. I put on the new self. And I put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So I kill the mosquito, right? It's buzzing around, keeps on stinging me and getting these welts. I kill it. Don't just let it fly around and say, I wonder if it's going to sting me. It will. They always go after me for some reason. It's going to get you. It's going to bite you. Kill it. And I put on the new self, which is next week. We'll continue with the passage next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Help us to have the right perspective on life and set our minds on you. When that old nature starts tempting us and comes back, let's help us to kill it. To not let our thoughts and minds and hearts dwell on that, but to dwell upon you and put on the new nature. Help us to be lights in this world where people are looking at us and saying, there's something different about you. Help us this week to glorify you in what we say and what we do, and that our thoughts and our hearts glorify you and what we think. Bless us this week. In your name, amen.